Hello, Bulls Nation. Welcome to a special free agency edition of the Build a Bull podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile. I'm being joined today by Marcus Couch of the Bulls podcast. We're going to go over some of the names that the Bulls might target in free agency. Also go through some other scenarios as well. I think it's safe to say that last week's draft definitely impacts some of the Bulls' plans. You know, picking Coby White at number 7, Daniel Gafford in the second round, both are at key spots to help fill two positions in need on the roster, a backup big and, of course, a point guard. The other event that could definitely impact the Bulls in this free agency period, it's an indirect ripple effect. It's what happens with Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. You know, is KD going to stay with the Warriors? Is he going to move on to another team like the Knicks? For Kawhi, is he going to stay in Toronto? Or could he be looking at either the Lakers or the Clippers? So those events could impact what the Bulls do in free agency. So let's get into it. Let's bring in our guest. He is Marcus Couch from the Bulls podcast. Marcus, how you feeling? Thanks for joining the show.
I'm great, man. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
So, Marcus, you host the Bulls podcast with Wise Black. Tell us how you got that started and where folks can find you guys.
Well, it's at bullspodcast.com and on Twitter and Instagram is just at Bulls Podcast. And it's strange how I came across that domain. I actually bought that domain about 10 years ago with the thought of doing the Bulls podcast. And I really never could find anybody that I wanted to co-host it with. And it's really difficult to do a solo show. In fact, I was one of the very first people to ever do any kind of podcast. I started in 2004. I was doing a music show. My roots in Chicago are with a company called Vision Entertainment that I started. And back when there were still record stores in town and a lot more live music going on, I was right in the heart of all of that. And we were booking about 400 different bands in about 60 different clubs throughout Chicagoland. And that's kind of where I got my start. And during that same time, I was actually doing broadcasting with Jones Intercable, doing high school sports. And I was doing announcing during football games, basketball, wrestling, sometimes baseball. And I really wanted to get into the entertainment side and get into television and doing those kinds of things. I would always call in to sports shows like Chet Kopick, who became actually a friend of mine in the last year. And unfortunately, he just passed away just a couple months ago. And so that's how I kind of got started in doing podcasting and broadcasting. And I first started off doing music stuff in podcasting and was one of the very first guys to start making a living at it. And then I got into doing tech. And then I really, throughout that entire time, I've always been a Bulls fan. My first Bulls game was in 1982. And it's just been something that I've always loved. So it took me a couple years after getting the domain of actually wanting to find somebody to do the show with. And I was starting to do what a lot of people do, which is scour YouTube and try and find the best personalities. I got a good friend that's a musician named Phil Zanidis, and he is now the lead guitarist for Bon Jovi on tour. And they found him on YouTube and just saw his YouTube channel. And I did kind of the same thing with looking for kind of a guy out there that had that heart and soul of a Bulls fan that wanted to do a podcast with me. So that's how I found Wise Black. And we're about 38 shows in and the numbers are growing every week. I do what's a little bit unorthodox, which is I actually upload a video of the podcast to just about every Facebook Bulls group that there is, just trying to keep the fire lit and get these fans talking. And it's been great. This past year, I can't believe how many Bulls podcasts there actually are. There's at least probably 15 or 20.
Yeah, it's kind of like this giant community. And I think the cool thing about it, it's a very supportive community. You got a lot of guys that, like, you know, we kind of all pitch in on each other's work from time to time, which I think is awesome. You know, I know for me, it's been a huge help. And I know you've been a huge help too. I think you were one of the first follows we had from an outside podcaster. So that was a big help and we appreciate that.
It's not just a following, but I mean, this is our content. As a person that is a Bulls podcaster, I have to listen to everybody else's show to see what's going on and see what they're talking about. And we don't necessarily like to copy anybody or do anything like that, but it's interesting to get everybody's take. And I love having different people on the show. We throw different scenarios at them. Sometimes we have little game shows that we do, sometimes trivia stuff, but we've always had a good time with it.
Yeah, and it definitely became one of the podcasts that's in my regular rotation. And I want to give a little note to our listeners. Wise Black should actually be joining the show sometime in July. We're working out some of those details, so be on the lookout when that episode drops. Definitely should be a good one. I know you're also working on another venture that's really cool called Bulls FM. Can you shed some light on that and what that is exactly?
Well, that's something that I started just about the same time that I started the Bulls podcast last summer. And it's just what it says, bulls.fm is the domain name. I just wanted to have kind of a place where everybody could go to get the latest podcasts that are out there regarding the Chicago Bulls. So I started with just, I think, three or four. And then as we kept going, I added more and more. And as of today, I think there's 11 or 12 different Bulls podcasts. And it's an automated thing. I'm a designer. I'm a tech guy. So I put all these things together myself. And I just have it check every 3 hours, I think, for a new show. And then it populates it on the website. So I eventually wanted to make this into something that can be streamed. And then I started also trying to discover how Roku devices worked and how you could get something in Roku, which is more of a pain than it sounds because you have to take every audio file and make a video file out of it in order for it to work through the Roku. So still in development, but you know, I don't put any advertising or anything like that on it. It's just straight up got everybody's links, how to subscribe to every show and all of that. So it's an automated thing that I don't really have to do anything to.
Yeah, and I appreciate you adding Rebuildable Podcast to that. And I checked it out, and I think it's really cool. It's kind of like a good digest for all Bulls fans that want to find these different podcasts. Because like you said, there's a lot out there. So it kind of brings it all into one easy, digestible space. So again, that's bulls.fm, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And then I'm working on something to where it will also announce on Twitter through its own handle. Its own Twitter handle, which is Bulls DOTFM. And I'm not really out to promote it or anything yet. It's just a little social experiment that I'm doing. But if anybody wants to check it out, I mean, it's there. I'd love to put a stream together. And my ultimate dream would be to come up with something where we could do a call in or something like that. People could actually join in live and do like a post game with all a bunch of different podcasters. I think that would be cool.
That's really cool. I'm definitely looking forward to what that could become. So free agency, of course, it starts Sunday, June 30th, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central here in Chicago, out where you're at 3 p.m. Pacific. So before we dive deep into the free agency talk, I do want to get your thoughts on the Bulls draft since it really could impact the direction they take. Were you happy with the selection of Coby White, or was there maybe someone else you were hoping for at number 7?
No, I was very happy with it. In fact, I'm actually surprised that he went that low. It's a good feeling knowing that you can get somebody that's a good player, that's got some quickness to them. Not saying that Chris Dunn wasn't, you know, he's not the worst as far as wheels go, but I think Kobe's going to develop into that good player, and I think he can also play two if he needs to into the rotation, which is helpful because as kind of this two-way guard, you can maybe get a little bit more development as a rookie. So a lot of people wanted Cam Reddish. I just don't think he's the guy for us at this particular time. We have a need rather than the best player available mentality this year.
I think it's almost like they're having their cake and eat it too. I think he fills a position of need, but I do think he, in my opinion, was the best player at that spot. Cam Reddish has the measurables. I feel like there's a very scary aspect to him because the flightiness worries me. You know, there was something to him at Duke that never really took that next step or was consistent.
I agree with that. And plus, I want to say, you know, as a podcaster that started about this time last year, I remember the fans were rabid over the fact that we didn't draft Michael Porter Jr. rather than Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah, I was. I'll raise my hand over here. You can't
see it. You got to trust scouting a little bit more than what we do. And I know we kind of razzed our packs, but since they've kind of turned this corner when we traded up to get rid of Jimmy Butler and get Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn, and then what turned out to be Lauri Markkanen, I got to give them credit. They've actually drafted really well and made some pretty good moves on some guys. Notwithstanding, I mean, there are some guys that I'd like to see off this roster, but we'll get to that in a minute, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree with you in that regard. I mean, if you really look at the full scope of the Garpax regime, the drafts haven't been terrible. I mean, really, the worst draft, the worst drafts they had probably were 13 and 14, and maybe 2012 with Marcus Teague. So I think those are the three drafts where you had Teague, Snell, McDermott. Other than that, though, they had pretty solid draft record.
Yeah, I was commenting on my last podcast that, you know, how Snell got traded to Detroit. And what surprised me was not that he got traded, but it was that he was making $11.3 million a year.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and you think about that, like when they made that move, I remember there were Bulls fans that were actually happy that they swapped Tony Snell for Michael Carter Williams. And Tony Snell went into Milwaukee, had a career season, and banked. You know, that happens in the NBA. Sometimes you're going to run into those magical 1 or 2 year stretches. And I think, you know, Snell caught a heater there, but he's come back to earth since then.
And so let's look at the other moves that they did. We got rid of Fred Hoiberg midstream last season, which was a huge plus. I'm not accounting for the fact that they didn't shop for a coach in the offseason here. Mm-hmm. That's a mistake. But I applauded that because just Fred was just not working out in terms of rebuilding this team. Mm-hmm. His style didn't translate into the players that he was given. So it's obvious that the front office didn't really buy into the scheme of things. And then we got rid of Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis, which I think at the end of this year we would have gotten rid of anyway. And we ended up with someone really solid in Otto Porter Jr. So this was a huge transitional year for the growth of the Bulls this past year.
And I really think it's going to continue into this offseason. I think that the draft was one big step. So with White and you got the second rounder, Daniel Gafford, on board, roughly $20 million in cap space, what do you think the game plan is going to be this offseason for the Bulls? What do you think Garpax are thinking?
I think you got to bring in one more vet point guard into the mix. My vote for that is Patrick Beverley from the LA Clippers.
I've seen you campaigning actively on Twitter. I know he's responded to you a couple of times.
He has. Yeah, he's retweeted. And yeah, so for those of you not familiar, I offered to pay for his gas and pay for his moving truck if he signed with Chicago. That's absolutely a media ploy, by the way. If that were to actually happen and he would actually demand it, I would use that profusely as a show promotion.
Absolutely. You go for that. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. But there's no way that a guy that already has made $22 million in the league is going to trust little old me in a truck full of everything that he owns. Not happening. But I would sign him. He's got the grit. He's got the defense. And he's also worked with Roy Rogers, who we just signed on as an assistant coach that came from Houston. Patrick Beverley played with him in Houston. And I think that he's probably got that spark in his eye to come join Chicago. In fact, Patrick Beverley was quoted recently in the media saying he's going to save the city. I don't know if he means the entire city or just the team, but I'm guessing you're probably going to have to pay upwards of $10 million to get Patrick Beverley.
Do you think that's worth shelling out that much money for a guy that might be a spot starter early and then transition to sort of the second unit? Or do you think that Garpax might be a little hesitant to pay that kind of money?
I think he's worth it. And I think in this league, when you've got somebody standing right next to you as Cristiano Felicio making $8.4 million, I don't think that that's that big of a stretch.
touche. I mean, if Cristiano Felicio is going to make $8-9 million a year, you might as well pony up 10 for a really solid point guard that's, you know, probably could start for you in a pinch and definitely anchor your second unit.
And then I'm also going to, in that instance, Chris Dunn probably has to leave.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in terms of a backup role in the point guard, I would bring Ryan Arcidiacono back, whom I just saw that the Bulls presented their qualifying offer to today. Yeah.
Correct.
So let's see what he can get out there. He's been a solid player this year, and there are other podcasters who have frowned on him, not to mention any names, but there are some guys out there that didn't feel that he belonged in the NBA. And I think that's wrong. I think he's got the hustle for it. And I think he's got the grit. He's a bull.
We can say who it is. He said it on my podcast too, C Red Fred. I know he's not a fan of all of Ryan Arcidiacono. I kind of agree with you. I think I like him as like that, you know, third option at point guard, maybe take some minutes if injuries come into play. Yeah, and I think that's the kind of guy that fits that role spot on. Are there, like, if you were sitting in the GM chair, you know, we do a lot of this on the Rebuildable podcast. We do hypotheticals. We put you in that role. So if it were you, though, Patrick Beverley's like a guy that you really like. Are there other types of players that you would be looking at? You know, maybe some veteran three-point shooters, big men. What kind of guys would you be looking at to fill out that roster?
Well, the only real guy that you need in this lineup that we've got. So you've got LaVine with Valentine going behind him. So you're pretty solid at the two. Plus you can put in Ryan Arcidiacono or the guys that are under contract right now, which is like Walt Lemon, those types. You've got Otto and Hutch, Lowry. That's the hole. Who do you put behind Lowry? And my answer to that is bringing back Taj Gibson.
And I think there's a lot of Bulls fans that definitely have. I mean, I know I'm a big proponent of that. And I know there's other Bulls fans that are really, you know, riding that bandwagon right now. What do you think Taj Gibson brings to this roster?
He's going to bring some vet leadership. I think he's pretty hard-nosed guy. You know, what do they call him? The lunch bucket guy or lunch bucket brigade or whatever it
happens. Yeah, hard hat and lunch pal. That's what
Steve that's it. Yep, exactly. So I think he brings that. And I see these rumblings of fans going, no, let's not bring Taj back because he's not a coach. He's not a player developer. He doesn't do that. And I'm thinking to myself, that's what they have a coaching staff for. Taj Gibson is not a coach. He's a player.
Mm-hmm.
And he should be able to be the kind of player that he wants to be. And so what is he? He's a guy that understands where his position is on the floor. He's a pretty decent passer. I never did like the way that he dunks. He always has to take one dribble before he dunks.
You've noticed that too, huh? The two-handed flush. It's that pound down and then flush it.
Yeah.
Like clockwork. You know, the other thing with him, though, I think that's a kind of guy that even at his age still can give you, you know, a really valuable 20 to 25 minutes a game.
Of course. So maybe we can sign him on a 2-year deal with a team option.
How much do you think he'll cost?
I'd say five.
Five a year?
Yeah. I don't know what his vet minimum. He's going to make a vet minimum of something.
Right.
It's probably going to be around that.
I would love to get him at that $5 million mark. I feel like that's a kind of like that perfect deal that I think the Bulls probably are looking at this point. Are there any other players, maybe like some three-point shooting that you would consider looking at?
I tell you what, there were some guys that I looked at in the draft. I wish we would have picked up Dylan Windler.
Mm.
He was going to be a second round guy. The Cavs actually ended up picking him at 26.
Yeah.
And that guy is going to be a great 3-point shooter in the league. I mean, he's amazing. I don't know. I there's so much strangeness going on in the league in terms of who's available and who's not. I think we're like a week away, you know, until that opening tick of free agency starts to see what's going on. I've even heard rumblings that Kyrie Irving wants to be a Bull, and that was such a head scratcher to me.
I think that was something that I know had been rumored years ago, you know, around the time that Jimmy was still here. I know that that was brought up by Joe Cowley. I could see maybe the interest. I just feel like now with Kobe White on board, it's kind of an odd fit bringing in a now Kyrie Irving's very, very talented point guard, and he's, you know, superstar caliber. But where does he exactly fit into the equation right now?
I would rather see Rondo back on this team than a Kyrie Irving. If you're going to talk old guys, old vets.
Well, I mean, Rondo's an old vet. Kyrie's still a little bit younger. He's hitting his prime. The issue with him is the injuries.
Well, that's old guy syndrome.
I'm going to go through, I think, some names that are probably a little bit more in that reasonable area for the Bulls, right? Like some of the names we've heard rumored, maybe more mid-tier, lower-end free agents. I'm going to start with some of the point guards. Let's say that the Patrick Beverley thing doesn't happen. So what do we think? That this is a name that seems to be popping up lately. Corey Joseph. Thoughts on him? Is that somebody that you think kind of fits the backup point guard profile?
I don't think he's really established that well in terms of at least being able to run this offense with Zach and Lowry and Wendell Carter Jr. I don't think he'd be a good fit.
All right. What about this guy might cost a little more. And it seems like he might be one of those guys that's sort of a backup solution for a team that strikes out on some of the bigger names. Ricky Rubio.
Absolutely. If you can't get Pat Bev, I think Ricky Rubio would be a distant second. Yes.
Okay. And I think like the biggest value with him is, you know, really good facilitator and can play with pace.
Absolutely. And he's played with bigger name players, so he's no stranger to it. He's been around the league already. So I don't think he's in the category where he's going to want the limelight all the time. It's not going to be the Ricky Rubio show. I think he understands where his place is on the team and on the floor. So I think he'd be a good addition.
We'll go with another guy, Darren Collison. That's a name that seems to be brought up a lot for a potential point guard option.
Yeah, I don't know much about him. I really couldn't comment on him. I don't really watch his game too much.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of your stereotypical facilitating point guard. Does kind of play with that same style of pace. There's some controversy surrounding him. If you do a quick Google search on that. But yeah, he's kind of one of those guys that seems to be lumped into that category with Rubio and Beverly. I'll throw out another name. This was one that Casey Johnson floated out. Actually, two names that Casey Johnson floated out. And I'll get your thoughts on both. Ish Smith and George Hill.
I like Ishmael Smith a lot. In fact, we did a segment on one of our earlier Bulls podcasts where we do the trade machine segment. And it was really designed just to tick off fans and get the conversation rolling. You know, we trade Zach LaVine 1 week for somebody, you know.
That's always a fun game, by the way. I listened to a couple of times where you've done that. And it's fantastic.
It's fun. So Ish Smith is one that was on our radar, definitely. And I'm really high on his game. I'd like to even see if we could bring him in as a backup. I don't know what he would command in terms of salary right now, but he'd be great back. Like if Ryan Arcidiacono walked and I could still bring Ish Smith in for a decent amount of money, say like a 5 or 6 range, I'd get him. Absolutely.
What about the George Hill one?
George Hill, I'm not too high on.
Little older.
Yeah. I think he's kind of past what we're looking for in terms of a point guard. Even running a second unit, you know, I mean, if Arcidiacono could probably put in as much as George Hill could.
I'm going to throw out the name that Bulls fans still romanticize over, but it seems like this one is definitely a pipe dream now, Derrick Rose.
In fairy tale land, I would love for that to happen, where Derek comes back, maybe Joakim Noah comes back with Taj and brings the Bulls deep into the playoffs and has just one more sputtering game to, you know, send him off into retirement. But that's just not happening. It's not.
Yeah, one thing that had happened during, I don't know if you saw this, Kendall Gill had been on that bandwagon for a long time. And he recently, during or the post-draft show on NBC Sports Chicago, he basically revealed that he had heard from good intel that that's definitely not happening.
I think it would put undue pressure on Derek, because even just the slightest injury would have us all freaking out as fans.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, he sits, you know, the second of a back-to-back. Yeah, I think there'd be a lot of people that would just freak out right off the bat. You know it's coming.
Yeah, and we're not the type of culture in Chicago, or at least as a Bulls fan, that permits players to just rest. You know, I don't know what that is. It signals laziness. I don't get it. But, you know, these guys need to establish themselves for playing in the playoffs, and not what's happening now in terms of these guys grinding themselves down to win 20 some games. It just doesn't make sense.
I'm going to throw out some additional guys to you, since we've gone through the point guards. And I got just a few of them. So we already brought up Taj Gibson. Potentially another, you know, guy to bring in as a backup or bring back would be Robin Lopez. Do you think it's worth it? Do you think he's going to command too much money on the open market?
I do. And as much as I like him, he doesn't advance us at all. He's not a loss in terms of putting him in against anybody in the league. You know, he's proved that last year, and he got some pretty good numbers up in the times that he played. But he's not going to advance us any. And it's just not going to happen. And plus, we just drafted a second rounder that can probably fulfill that role. Mm-hmm. We need a backup behind Lowry. That's really where it's at.
I'm going to throw out an interesting name. This is a guy that got a lot of love from some people in the Bulls Twitter sphere. Jeremy Lamb. Now, Jeremy Lamb could command anywhere from 10 to, I've seen, as high as 15 million. Is that somebody that you might consider on like a short 2-3 year deal as somebody to just have anchoring your second unit?
I would do a 2 year, say 21-22 mil. I would do that.
What do you think he could bring to the table for a team like the Bulls?
Well, he's going to bring some experience into it. He's a pretty good player and pretty good in the post, and that's really what we're looking for. We just need somebody to work in with this young core that can potentially pick a lead back up if we happen to be down during those particular transitional periods where the second unit's in. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a solid group of guys that can increase or regain a lead going into that next substitution pattern.
I'm going to throw a name that hasn't really been rumored, but is a guy that I really like. I think he's brilliant because he's the king of the one-year big contract. His name's J.J. Redick. And, you know, there's probably a good chance he's going to go either back to the Sixers or go to a contender. But if you could entice him, do you think that would be a really solid fit on a team like the Bulls?
I think he's going to be too much money, frankly. I watched 76ers games all year long, even before they got Butler. And that group together is really good. I just think they needed more time to gel. Mm-hmm. And I think if they re-sign everybody, I don't know if Butler's going to stay. Sounds to me like he's leaning Lakers. And that's probably, you know, what he's going to do. But if that 76ers team would stay together and include Redick in those plans, I think that they'd go a lot farther than they did last year.
I wanted to throw this out at you as it relates to the Bulls. So Bobby Marks from ESPN, he joined Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 here in Chicago. And he thinks the Bulls are likely to make those kind of shrewd moves we've been talking about that won't handicap the cap situation. So the guys like Taj Gibson, Corey Joseph, you know, the veteran anchors off the bench. However, he kept mentioning throughout his interview that, you know, the Bulls have that opportunity, if they wanted to clear cap space by making one trade. And I'm going to throw this out as, again, a total pie-in-the-sky hypothetical. But if it were you calling the shot, are you somebody that would be bold in this free agency period if you had the cap space? Or would you be just trying to keep your powder dry and wait for 2020, 2021 to pull off that big move in free agency or through the trade market?
Yeah, well, okay. So I doubt that they're really going to get extravagant this year. So if I'm the GM, yes, I'm going to get extravagant this year and try and bring in Patrick Beverley and somebody else who's probably going to tip me over the cap line. Will Gar and Pax do that? No. I think they're going to wait till next year to see, A, how is Otto Porter Jr. performing on a $27 million year deal? And is he something that we can move in terms of a piece? And then next is we've got to clear out space for Lowry in terms of his deal, which is going to be a max deal, I'm sure. That's going to weigh in on you a little bit. You're going to have to deal with the second year. By that time, the second year of a huge free agent that you would have to have brought in this year. So if it's like Brogdon, like they were talking about, 4-year, $80 million deal, how are you going to bring Lowry Marketing back?
Right.
You're not going to have the space. That's where I think their thinking is right now. So I think they're just going to get up to the cap, try and strike it rich with a couple of these, you know, two-way type players that they've been bringing in lately. I think it, as far as expendables on this roster, you can go down the list in terms of guys that they would trade. Walt Lemon Jr. is somebody that's on the roster actually and still will be a Chicago Bull next year. Shaq Harrison, I don't know if that's something that they're going to be moving or not during the offseason this year. Felicio, obviously he's got to be kind of the sucker prize. So if somebody wants to have Chris Dunn, I think we have to make them take Cristiano Felicio just as a hook to get his, you know, we've been buying enough stupid contracts over the years, like Omar Sheik and having to eat Dwayne Wade's contract and all the rest of it. I think somebody else needs to buy our junk for a change.
That would be interesting because if you were somehow, if there was a trade package like that and you're shedding, let's see, almost $5 million, I think, for Chris Dunn and then $9 million for Felicio. That's going to put you around $13-14 million. So, I mean, are you trying to, when you make up that kind of trade, are you trying to take on sort of a veteran player that might be, you know, in that $10 million range or maybe try to clear the cap space to make, you know, that move you were bringing up for like Patrick Beverley who might cost you 10 plus?
Well, it could be used for a number of different scenarios, that being one of them. If you wanted to include and parlay Patrick Beverley's $10-12 million into that deal, that would be great, especially since he's going to be taking up a backup point guard role. And you've already got a guy like Ryan Arcidiacono who's not even going to make $2 million a year next year.
I do wonder, like, you know, if those are some of the things that could drop as we get probably a little deeper into July. You know, if we see Chris Dunn on the move, if we see either Felicio's contract dumped via a trade or a stretch provision, if there are maybe some kind of surprising moves that could come our way. You know, I'm not saying like KD or Kawhi or anything like that, but, you know, a surprising kind of, you know, oh, that I didn't see that coming kind of move.
Well, speaking of KD and then throw Klay Thompson into that. Boy, what a wrench that threw into the free agency mix this coming season.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing that up because I really do see that ripple effect, and I actually wanted to ask you about that. So, I mean, how do you think the KD injury, the Klay injury, and also Kawhi Leonard's sort of, you know, hostage situation of either staying in Toronto or going out to either team in LA, how much do you think that's going to impact not only the Bulls but the entire league?
I think it's going to impact it a lot. It's sort of this, it's such a strange thing seeing so many super groups, as it were, trying to get together to do these team things. It's something that Michael Jordan in his era never really did. You know, we never really saw that. You never saw Dominique Wilkins coming over to join the Bulls or, you know, any of those guys. I don't know what the LA situation is going to bring. I don't know what the Clippers have up their sleeve, whether Patrick Beverley is going to stay and then try and recruit other people as well. Who knows what's happening with that. That sort of does change the dynamic in the East a lot and could actually propel us to be a playoff team if none of these other high name guys are going to duke it out in the East. I think that's a strange situation that it's going to bring about this year.
I mean, actually, I want to get your prediction, actually. So if you had to make just gut instinct, what do you think is going to happen with Durant, Thompson, Leonard?
I think Leonard's going to sign a max deal somewhere.
Where do you think it's going to be?
I think he'll stay in Toronto.
Staying in Toronto? I agree.
He's a hero. He's a hero. National hero already. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
KD, I think that he may be forced to take his option in Golden State this year just due to the fact that he's got to pretty much take the whole year off. And then it's going to be a gamble, I think. You never know how his recovery is going to happen. We all saw Paul George pretty much snap his leg in half, and he still, he came back to be a great player still. Mm-hmm. So I think KD will recover from that. Klay Thompson, that's a tough one. He didn't make all defensive team. There's a certain amount of incentives that ends up costing him. I think it's like $3 million because he didn't get named to certain things over the course of the season. They say that they're going to re-sign both of them, Klay and KD. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did. I don't think that KD would test the free market right now in terms of free agency. Klay Thompson might. I don't know what team would take a gamble on him at this point. I really don't.
And, it really does cause a ripple. So kind of the scenario you laid out, that's how I think it's going to shake. I'm in lockstep with you. But it's going to be interesting. Do you think that's going to cause guys like Jimmy Butler and D'Angelo Russell and Kyrie Irving to be those big fish? Where can you see those guys going if you had a gut instinct?
Well, I think Brooklyn is going to retain D'Angelo Russell, which kind of shuts the door for Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Kyrie might end up going to the Knicks and hanging out there and waiting until another free agent comes next year. Interesting. I mean, he just kind of shot himself in the foot in terms of some of the things that he said in Boston and just how they ended up getting further without him than with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll stay somewhere out east, I think is where he's going to stay. Yeah. But that could be a shocker too. You could get some team like, Orlando or somebody like that, or to pull off a little trade to try and get him. So who knows what's going to happen.
I would love to see something like that, because that would throw a whole wrench into everybody's equation. So you probably saw Woj reported that the Rockets are exploring a possible sign and trade scenario with the Sixers to get Jimmy Butler. Kind of seems like an odd fit to me. You got two very ball dominant wings on the floor at the same time. Do you think, what kind of a ripple effect would that cause just in the West alone?
Well, it's going to deprive the East of some talent within the pool, which brings opportunity for other guys out there. You're still going to have stars in the East. It's just who's going to rise up and become those stars.
Let's put a bow on this. So just give me some of your final thoughts, maybe summarize again where you do see the Bulls. Like, what do you think those moves are going to be when, the summer wraps up?
Well, I hope that we can bring in somebody like Patrick Beverley, send Dunn and Felicio out, opening up basically a salary swap for that kind of thing. Bring a guy back like Taj Gibson to sort of cement the fan base a little bit, and also bring a little bit of floor leadership to the guys in the core. I'd like to see an advancement of Antonio Blakeney this year. He is without a doubt the most talented athlete that we have on the team, but definitely not the most talented player.
I would agree with that too.
Anybody who watches Antonio Blakeney's trainer on Instagram or him himself can see that the guy's jumping up on 5.5 foot blocks, standing jumps. It's like 67 inches and stuff. It's pretty crazy. I wish that he would work a little bit more with when training camp starts, that he would get more involved with Roy Rogers and trying to build up his defense, much like Patrick Beverley learned to. And guys like Ryan Arcidiacono, I expect to come back. Walt Lemon Jr., I think, is going to be in the mix again. People seem to really like him. The fact that he was such a big D. Rose fan and that he's trying to continue the legacy, I think that's going to work out really nice. There is one guy that I'd love to see actually picked up on this roster as an undrafted free agent. And that is Dino Radoncic. And he's a Spanish player. He's a forward, 6'8", 225. He worked out with the Bulls, actually. And then he rescinded his draft qualification. So he basically pulled himself out of the draft.
Yeah, I was reading about him. That would be an interesting add-on for sure.
Yeah, he reminds me of Tony Kukoc a lot. And he's got just an amazing range. It seems like even half-court shots for him are simple. Of course, he's playing in the Euro League, but even still, it still takes talent to do that. So I'd like to see them pick this guy up. They worked him out. You can see that was kind of the highlight of his life as he put it up on Twitter and Instagram of him in that Bulls workout uniform at the Advocate Center. So that's one guy I'd like to see them pick up. But I think we're pretty solid. I'm anxious to see what Denzel Valentine is going to do this year now that he's had a year off and he's got a foot that he can actually play and work on. I don't want to see him with Popeyes or Chick-fil-A sandwiches next to the bean on Instagram. That's not a good look, man, when you haven't played in a year. So let's get to it. Anxious to see how Otto Porter Jr. continues to gel with the team. How Chandler Hutchinson starts to come into his own after he's recovered from surgery. Lowry, of course, I want him to stay injury-free during training camp this year because that was a huge blow to us last year. And anxious to see the growth of Wendell Carter Jr. and see exactly what he can put up this year in terms of from a defensive standpoint and also as an offensive powerhouse. I really think that we're going to have a much better year and a more fun year, both as podcasters and as fans. And I actually thought they were going to win a lot more games last year. I thought Vegas was crazy when they said we'd only win 28 games. And I put $300 on that and lost.
You know what? I think this is a good question to leave on. If all things are equal, meaning there's health with this team in 2020, and they do make the moves that you're predicting they make, how many wins do you think they end up with, and do you think they're competing for a playoff berth next season?
Playoffs, no. I think we're going to be stuck around 38 to 40 wins, okay, which is an improvement, but I don't think it's going to get us there just yet. I think the following year, I think, is finally when we're going to do it. I don't think Coby White's going to progress how we all think he is in terms of coming in to be that starter and suddenly transforms himself into Ja Morant. I don't see that happening, but I do think he's going to be better than Cameron Payne and some of the other guys that are distant memories already for us as Bulls fans.
Well, I think that Bulls fans need to definitely have patience with Coby White. Like, I think it is going to take time to get to that next step for him. I think just getting used to the pace and learning the NBA game. I mean, it's probably going to take a good year to get that going.
Yeah, and I think we've got a good new coaching staff that's going to help out with that. It seems like we've cleaned house in terms of that staff and who's on the bench and who's behind the bench and some of the assistants and the training staff and such. And it sounds like they've really got themselves together this year. So I'm looking forward to a really exciting year. I think this is really the time of year to be a Bulls fan, is to kind of look into the rebuilding of what's happening and some of the moves that are being done and the rumors and all of that. It's become a full-time year sport, year-long sport, becoming a Bulls fan, not just during when the season is in action.
Absolutely, and I think it's going to be a really fun off-season and free agency period to keep our eyes on. Again, that starts Sunday, June 30th at 6 p.m. Eastern. Marcus, thanks for coming on. Where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me, myself, on Twitter at Marcus Couch, same with Instagram. And then our show is Bulls Podcast. You can find it at bullspodcast.com and at Bulls Podcast on social. And one question I do get all the time about our show, and if you listen to the very end, you can actually hear it, but we brought Ray Clay back into the fold with our podcast. He's actually the guy that intros the show and closes it all out. So any of you Ray Clay fans out there from the 90s that love that intro, get your fill right there.
Absolutely. So if you want to hear Ray Clay consistently, definitely listen to the Bulls podcast, and you'll get a lot of other great tidbits on the team too. Marcus, thanks for coming on, doing a preview with us, and don't be a stranger. We'll have you on sometime again.
Likewise, we're going to have you on the Bulls podcast. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Rebuildable Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Rebuildable.com.